Well, this is your Mexico team, the team that went... And I really say your team because we as a church, this is our effort that collectively we do. And I've noticed it here in the year that I've been here, how the church really is behind our trip. And even when I came back this summer and I ran into some of you with Walmart, Tim Hortons or whatever, your first question when you saw me was, how is Mexico? So thank you for, as a church, standing together with us. So Rod and Shauna, why don't you set the context in terms of what we did down there, that kind of thing, and then we'll kind of pass the mic along in terms of sharing, and then I'll wrap it up.
I just want to go back right away after watching that.
First of all, thank you so much for all your prayer and support, because you guys are actually a part of that. If you didn't see your face up there, you actually are a part of that, so just remember that. And also, what I was thinking of when I saw that, as you place each of those moments that you see in Mexico, put it in context of Surrey, Langley, wherever you live. Those same situations exist in a different area. So remember, each day that you go on a mission, okay? So with that in mind, I just wanted to tell you, first of all, for those that maybe don't know exactly what we did, but I'll just give you a really brief summation. So we boarded a plane from San Diego, or to San Diego, and we bused from San Diego, crossed Tijuana border about 5-6 hours south to a place called San Quintin. It's on the Baja Peninsula. It's basically Kamloops without trees. It's very bare. Dusty, as you could see, it's not a resort. We did not stay at a resort by any means. It was a pretty barren area. We did many things. Obviously, you saw the house builds. That's a key part of it, but that's only a small part of what we do. And thank you again for the support for raising the funds for that. One of the pictures showed us going to the garbage dump. So we took a team up there and blessed the people with food and spoke to them and had a connection up there. So that was great. We also went to a place called the Cuartería. I said that right. It's a place where the poorest of poor are. So think of, it's a very poor place, but these are even poorer than the poor. So it's a really, kids are left alone, the parents go out working, and it's just like a cement complex where kids just do whatever. And so we showed up there and played games with them, did some Bible story, did some games and sticker fun and all that kind of stuff. So it was a great time to bless them. Also, we did, you saw Megan cutting hair for one of the ladies there. We had a women's night, and I wasn't there, of course, but what they did was bless the ladies, and I think you guys were a big part of that. We had an event here, and so we just carried that on and brought them supplies and blessed them, and somebody else can speak to that. One of the other things that we did down there was spend a lot of time with the families, going back and forth between the two houses there. Literally from here to the parking lot apart, so it was awesome because the whole team was together in some sense, but we each had our house. We had a music worship night at the church with great sermon and great testimonies by some of our people, and I think I covered it all. Yeah. Oh, VBS, yes, that happened every day, whether on site or we had time at that same church where you saw the picture, and that was awesome because once again, we had a lot of kids come out, and generally there's not a lot of fathers in their life, so for the young men here and the older men to bless them with time is one thing, and it's awesome. So I'll pass it over to Shauna.
Yeah, I just want to mention that we go with an organization called One Life, One Chance Ministries, and they are actually a local mission organization based out of Chilliwack. So this was our fourth year going with Grace Point. As a family, it was our fifth year. But for me, what I came back with was the relationship. So I want to ask if you could put up a slide for the four families that we that you guys have invested in over the last three summers. I just want to give you a little bit of an update because I was just so encouraged by how they're doing and how you only spend actually 5 days with them and you're busy working and very few of us have any Spanish language skills. So you would think, how do you develop a relationship? But these people love us, you know, and we love them. The Romero's family on the top there, when we first went there, Angel, who's the oldest teenager, he was about 13, 14 years old at the time. He just grabbed a tool belt, sat basically down next to my oldest son, and copied everything he did for the week. He just like drank it all in. He was just beside himself with learning and experiencing and everything. The Tuesday, when we were doing our house build, the bus pulls off the highway and turns, bus stops. He hops on the bus. He came and worked with us building a house for another family, for his church. And I thought, what a blessing. Like, you know, he's just wanting to give back now. And so they're doing really well. The Castrillones, so those two houses were our first year, and they were across the road from each other. Most of the Mexicans are actually fairly quiet spoken, but not Beatrice, man. She's a firecracker. And some of you may have heard the story already, but we pulled up, and she just said, I was praying for Grace Point 10 minutes ago. I just knew you were coming soon. And that was just sort of overwhelming, the fact that, yeah, we think of you, we pray for you, but it's being reciprocated. And last year, she had asked for prayer, because she's a real evangelist. She's got a kids program going on Saturday morning. She doesn't have money for crafts or anything, but she tells them about Jesus, and a standing room only Bible study, and she was praying for a van or a bus to take all her neighbors to church. But God did better than that, because he provided a church just across the way, like 2-minute walk, and she goes, it's a cement building, and we use a car battery to run the two light bulbs, but we got a church here, so we just praise God for that. The Reyes family, it was 2 years ago, best way I would describe them is they are just quiet and generously loving. It just so happened we were in the same neighborhood, and some of the team decided to wander around and say, we got to find them. How many blue houses are there here? So they wandered around for a few minutes, and they found the house. They didn't have a translator, so I don't know if there was just nods and highs, I guess. But the next morning, the dad was waiting for us. He had taken the day off work, and he said, we couldn't do something for you when you visited last year. Can you come today? And so he invited the whole team. We said that was a bit much, but the ones that had built for them, we went over there, and they cooked a beautiful meal for us because they wanted to share, you know, and just let us know how much that they appreciated us and loved us, and that was just wonderful. And then lastly, the family from last year, if you remember, there was 12 of them, the grandma and a bunch of kids and then the grandkids. She walked out to us, and last year she could barely walk. She would have to be helped with by her kids because her husband in the previous year had come back and shot her, and she was just, you know, devastated from that. But on her own strength, she came with a big smile on her face to welcome us. And their life is not easy still. They had renovated both the houses, which was really interesting. They took out a wall and added a wall to make it work for their families. But one of the daughters that has the grandkids actually had been away for 8 months having to work to support the family, so she wasn't going to be there with her kids. But I just want to say thank you for your investment in these people, and they appreciate it, and we appreciate them, and they're praying for us and thinking of you as we think of them. So with that, I think we're just going to pass it around.
Nancy, and we'll just pass the... start us off there, Nancy.
You're pretty shy.
Okay, first of all, let me say that I'm the only person wearing the team shirt today, I believe. I should be... Oh, okay, good. Well, they're hiding it. Okay. So I did go to Mexico about 3 years ago, and mainly when I was working that summer, I mainly just helped build the house, so that was an experience. This time, though, when I went, I built a little bit, but I also ended up playing with the kids a lot more and interacting with the people, and that was really neat. I really enjoyed helping with VBS, and if you don't know me, I am a grade one teacher here in Surrey, so I'm used to those little guys and being funny around them and having a good time. And I can't speak much Spanish, but I was able to communicate because I would use a couple of Spanish words and then lots of gestures, and we had lots of fun laughing, and it was really fun, and it was neat because they were able to understand what I was trying to say, and I kind of got what they were talking about. And the other thing I really enjoyed doing this time was the women's ministry. We didn't have that 3 years ago. And it was just neat, once again, to go back to the church. And some of the men came and watched the children outside, and the women were able to interact with us. And once again, lots of gesturing and laughing. And it was really neat that way. A challenge this time around, though, was when I went 3 years ago, I camped. And that was a challenge, and I thought, I am never doing that again. My back will not take another sleep on a mat, so I thought, well, this time I'll do the hotel. And it was very reasonable, and it's like 2 minutes away, and it's a very basic hotel, but it has a nice bed and hot water, and that sounded good. So we showed up at the hotel, the six or seven of us that were staying there, and it turns out that there was no reservation for myself or Helen. Helen, where are you? Yeah. And Helen and I didn't know each other, but we both sort of came on a little bit later, and the reservation got mixed up or something, so we go to find out that there's no room for us. So then I'm thinking, oh great, I have to camp. So in the end, it turned out that yeah, they could find us a room, but Helen and I would have to share. And I had just been sharing my house with my sister and brother-in-law for 3 months, and I wanted my own space, so I was not happy. Nothing against Helen. So yeah, well, so they were able to get us a room with two beds, so that was a plus, because I'm not going to share a bed with a total stranger. Well, I would have, but I wouldn't have been happy. But so the only catch was we could only stay in this room for one night, and then we'd have to move our stuff next door to another room, and we could have that room for two nights, but then after Wednesday, there were no more rooms. So we had to figure something out. So we thought, well, let's just be happy, we have a room tonight. So Helen and I moved in, and over the next couple of days, we got to know each other, and actually, it turned out to be a real blessing. We've become good friends, gone on a couple of bike rides since we've returned, and did a lot of laughing late at night when we were tired. So over the days that we were working towards Wednesday, we brought this concern to the team, and they prayed for it, and other team members that were staying at the hotel were trying to figure out ways to help us. Oh, you won't be sleeping on the ground. We'll figure out a way. Maybe we can make people sleep together and you can come into our room. And it was just sort of unsure, unknown. And so we just thought, well, we'll just leave it with God. And so then, Thursday morning, we had to vacate. So we moved all our luggage into one of the other team's rooms, and then we went off to the job site and spent the day, and then I think we got back around 4 o'clock. So every day I had been going to the office and saying, any rooms open? Any cancellations? No. So I was like, okay, well, I'm sure something will happen. And sure enough, I showed up Thursday afternoon and said, any rooms open? And he said, yeah, there is. And I'm like, yes. And he says, but only one room, but with two beds. And I'm like, yes, two beds. I didn't care about the room, it was the bed. So then, yeah, so we were able to get in for Thursday and Friday, and it was really neat that God answered that prayer and that we saw him working. And, you know, I stress out about stuff like that, but I totally left it with God, and it was really neat how he answered that prayer. Even though there were other things, I knew I wouldn't be out in the open in the dirt or camping. So all was good. So praise God.
All right, hey guys. My name is Benjamin, and this was my first Mexico trip, or it's actually my first missions trip of any sort. And I have to say, it was really, really good experience. I enjoyed it a lot, and it was tough, and it was good to get to know the team and the people down there. I would say that. Before I left, I had no idea what to expect, and I had never done any of these sorts of trips before. All I could go by was what the people before me had explained and told me, but I really had no idea what to imagine. And so when I went down, it was much different than I would have thought or expected. And that was a really good learning experience. I think my favorite part, or the part that impacted me the most, was actually same as Shauna, the relationships. One thing that was really, really awesome was being able to play with the children who were there in the neighborhood. I just remember they would kick a soccer ball around for hours, and we'd play a game of soccer, or they'd use like those long toilet paper rolls. They're like toilet paper rolls, but longer, right? And they'd use those paper towel rolls, and they'd whack a tennis ball with them and play baseball. That was great. And just getting to know the people and the kids and the team here. And I just want to say that I hope that we were a blessing to them, because I know that they were for sure to us.
Hi, I'm Luke. This was also my first missions trip. And I think, honestly, before I came down, I kind of just thought, I'm going to Mexico, and, you know, my sister had done it before, and my mom had been there a couple times before. And I kind of thought to myself when I first went to the house build, I was like, I'm just building a house. This is just me building a house. And over time, I realized I'm not building a house. I'm helping a family, you know, build a life and, like, regain their lives and stuff. And that felt really good. And to see it all done, it was really impactful. And to see the family's reactions, thinking, most of us have these, like, big houses, and we'd see this house and we'd think that's a small house. To them, that's, like, the biggest house they could ask for. So that was really impactful for me.
Hi, I'm Rebecca, and I like to be clean. So going down to Mexico, I didn't really realize how much dirt was in the area. So while building the house, I just kind of like, okay, you know what, it's fine. I'll just get dirty, I'll build a house, it'll be okay. And so, like, at the end of the day, we kind of, like, look at our legs and be like, all right, is that a tan or is that dirt? And then you'd, like, rub your hand on your leg and, oh, okay, it's dirt. But it wasn't a big deal, because we can go back to our campsite and go have a shower and get clean and spend the rest of the evening clean, hanging out and being okay. But on the first day, realizing that, like, okay, I can go get clean, but these people are going to bed dirty. And so that was kind of the big impact moment for me, that, like, these guys live in this dirt and, like, they can't really get away from it. So, and, like, they don't have running water for showers. They have to wait for the truck to come around to purchase water. And so it was just really impactful and kind of heartbreaking for me to realize that, oh my goodness, like, I am overly blessed in Canada, and, like, so I'm really hoping I can go down next year and do more.
Hi, I'm Eldon. We don't attend this church, but the biggest impact I had was watching the two pastors that went down there, got hot, got sweaty, got dirty, and led by example. And I think you are a blessed congregation to have them.
Hi, I'm Catherine, Eldon's wife, and Eldon, myself, and Helen, we're kind of the golden oldies, but only in age, not in spirit. So this is our second trip down this year, and there were two things that I wanted to mention. One is that God used this trip to reinforce to me how difficult the lives are of the people there in the San Quintin Valley. The Lopez family that we were building for, their oldest son, Pablo, who's 14, wasn't there until the last day or two of the house build. And when I talked with his mom, she told me that Pablo had had to leave school at age 11, and after their his father and her husband was killed, and he has become a as much a part of the family income as his mom. Every day that he was gone, he got up and he caught the bus at 3 a.m., took him to the onion fields by 6. He worked all day picking onions and bagging them, took the bus home, and got back at 8 o'clock at night. That was a really hard thing for me to take in. We saw the pictures of the dump and the people that were living there, but it really made me think of just these ordinary workers and the difficulties of their lives. And I thought of James chapter 1, verse 27, where we are told that part of the of our Christian religion is to look after the widows and the orphans in their distress. And I was just left after that trip with the sort of the lingering thought of is there more that Christians, not just here at Grace Point, but otherwise Christian community as a whole, is there more that we can be doing of our time and our giving of our money and our talents and our prayers to help all the other Pablos who are down in the San Quintin Valley? But the other thing was a positive, very positive thing that I came back with. And Shauna mentioned the Godin family that we worked with last year and the transformation of the mom. And that really struck me as well. When we pulled up, they weren't expecting us. She greeted us with so much joy. She was so much, her health was obviously so much better. But there were some other changes in the family as well that Shauna didn't mention. One was the fact that over this past year, their 14-year-old, now 15-year-old daughter, Mary Soul, had been able to go back to school. She had had to quit school when she was 12 in order to help support the family as well. So that was something that I was really overjoyed with. They had also very proudly added a new son-in-law to their family. And we also found out that their home, one of the homes we built last year, is now used as a midweek service for the church where they attend. So that was a real blessing for us to see how that was being used. I did want to leave you with this thought, that God is good and God is working in the San Quintin Valley through One Life, One Chance, Grace Point Church, and the teams that go out each year.
Thank you. My name is Helen, and I was very privileged to be able to go with your team at Grace Point with the youth group and a spectrum of ages and energy that was just nonstop, especially coming from Nancy, my... You can't get tired when you're with Nancy. One of the major things that impacted me in going with this group was the invitation that I had from Rod, who was in a Bible study group at Peace Portal called Foundations for Living. And he had connected with One Life, One Chance and was inviting me to bring the Bible study discipleship materials to Mexico. So I went to the office, and we took about 30 of the instruction materials. I took a USB stick that was loaded in. All of this material had been already translated into Spanish several years before, and was able to bring that to Heather, who was working with One Life, One Chance, and being able to bring the teaching material and the Bible study material and a transferable teaching through a USB stick that they could also copy and give to pastors. Well, in my contact with Heather before we went, she said, well, I won't be there because I'm on mat leave. She had a little four-month-old boy, and she was not going to be there, but she would introduce me to her colleagues. Well, we arrived on Sunday. I was able to meet Rob and Brenda, who were not really going to be there, but they were there. I mean, when I say not really, that wasn't in the plan. They would normally be gone. So I was able to meet them and just share with them what I was contributing. And then I was able to meet Heather. She was there after all. Well, that was a huge blessing because Heather connects with about 45 pastors in the area that they work with, and those pastors only meet once a month. Well, they met on Monday night. Well, that was just huge for me to be able to connect with her, give the material, and for her to be able to transfer some of this material immediately so the pastors could take it around. And what this said to me was, God is the master orchestrator. He puts together every detail in his way and in his time, and this was just amazing. What I also noticed was, One Life, One Chance doesn't do things for the people there. They work with the people. So we were able to be exposed to, not all of us were able to go to all the ministries, but I was privileged to connect with the garbage ministry and Pastor David, who works with that ministry. And we brought food, as was mentioned. But we also prayed with each person that we met in the garbage dump area. And he said to me, giving food and praying for them changes their thinking. And this was amazing, his faithfulness. He goes there every week. One Life, One Chance makes the sandwiches, the food, and a team goes there every week with what One Life provides. And likewise with the Coterius community. So we were working with and coming alongside the people there. And in the house build, there was a young boy. His name was Omar. He looked like he was 9. He was 14 years old. Some months before, I guess the year before, he had actually been living in the garbage dump. And a house build had been done for him and his family in the spring before we came. And this little boy was helping build a house for the other people in the community. And that was, you know, paying forward what had been given to him and seeing this young life giving to others. That was amazing. For me, a huge blessing was being with these young people and working, getting to know Caitlin and the friend that she had brought, Emily, who I believe is part of this church family also. And I was privileged to be doing some painting on our house with Emily and having a heart-to-heart conversation with her. This meant so much to me because I have a granddaughter who is 13, going on 14 shortly. Haven't seen the granddaughter or grandson who is 8, going on 9, for about 3 years. And God just deposits his love, his blessing, his grace into my life to be able to get a picture of what is my granddaughter like. Here I'm working with this 14-year-old Emily and being able to transfer the growth and this relationship. And it was just, It was just amazing. So I'm very grateful to have been with this team. They are amazing. And to be with this spectrum of people was such a blessing.
Hi, I'm Caitlin, and I'm pretty sure you guys can't see me because I'm kind of small, so I'm going to come to the front. And I'm pretty sure my mom wants photos, so. Oh, sorry. Hold on. I'm a little bit sick, as you can probably tell. So this is my first year going on the trip. I didn't really have anybody that I was really close to that's ever gone on the trip. I just remember a year ago when they were doing this same sermon here, thinking to myself, I just want to go. Like, I just want to go. And I told both my parents, like, I don't want anything for Christmas. Just forget Christmas. Just send me to Mexico. Like, I was so called to it, and I just, that's all I wanted. And so I convinced my parents to let me go, and then my dad came with me as well. But a lot of people, their expectation was to go there and to build a house. I was worrying about building the house. I'm kind of small. I don't know how to build a house. So I'm worrying about, I can't lift these things. I can't, like, I don't even know how to use a hammer. And they're expecting me to build a whole house for a family. So that was probably my biggest worry going there. But when we got there and we got off the bus, there was kids everywhere. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I love kids. So I ran off and I went with the kids and I played with them. And it was so right. And it felt so good to be with the kids. And even though I couldn't really talk to any of them, I could be there and I could immerse with them. That was just the household part. But early on in the week, I found out about women's ministry. And there was going to be a women's ministry on Thursday, I think. And so I went, I'm going to do that too. Like, I can connect with the people. Like, I know building's not my strong part, but I can connect with the people there. So I went to Rod and I said, I want to do women's ministry. Like, I sign me up, right? And he said, no. He said it was for the older women and there wasn't enough space in the van to bring everybody who wanted to go. So he was just letting the older women do it. So I was kind of upset. I was like, all right, that's okay. So I went off. And I was sneaky, and I went and found Kim, because I knew she was running women's ministry. So I went off, and I helped put together some of the crafts that they were doing there. And I just kind of like, you know, I was like, hey, Kim. So there's women's ministry. I'm kind of interested in doing that. And so I told her, like, what God had told me. And she's like, well, maybe I can sneak you on. But she's like, there's no guarantee. I was like, okay, no guarantee. So I went through my week, and I kept kind of, like, checking in. So, like, so is there any space for me? Through the whole week. And then I didn't find out till Thursday that Kim hadn't really told anybody that I asked. But one of the girls who was going to be driving us there and was going to be helping us there said, anybody can come. We will make space for them. She didn't even know that I wanted to go. And it was just God just making space for me and making that way for me because I was so called to that. And I feel just blessed that I was able to go, even though at first I was told no. And as you can tell, I'm quite stubborn and I get quite a few things at home. So when we got there, I didn't really know what to do because we were... But I'm good at sewing. I can sew, right? I do quite a bit of sewing. So they were sewing dresses, but, like, they didn't want to just jump in and do it for them. They had to get the experience by themselves. And Megan was cutting hair. I mean, I can't cut hair. I have short hair, but I can't cut it. So Megan was cutting hair, and she was just sniffing away, and I was kind of just talking to some of the ladies and painting their nails, and I was kind of just flowing through the night. I was kind of, like, just experiencing what I could, but I wasn't really sure what to do for a lot of the night. And then I got to speak to some of them, and that was kind of like the beginning. And near the end of the night, I sat down with this one woman, and she has two girls. So I was talking to her about her girls, and I was talking to her, and I was helping her make her dress, and I was painting her nails, and she had the biggest smile on her face. And that's when I really felt like the night was wrapped up for me. But I was wrong. I was wrong. It wasn't wrapped up yet. Not at all. We went and we were saying goodbye to the ladies. And the ladies came and they stood around us. And they prayed for us. And I remember standing next to Kim. And I just started crying. Because it was so amazing that we went there to bless them, but they turned around and they blessed us. And I just remember, like, hugging Kim so much. And I, like, she felt, we're both thinking about it right now, but we were hugging each other so much and we were just embracing and just listening to what we said. Even though we couldn't really understand them, it was, God was speaking through them. And I was just crying and crying. It was, yeah. And then when we got back to the campsite, Emily didn't go. And I went and bragged to her how much of an amazing trip it was. And I said, you should come. And she's like, no, it's okay, it's for the women. And I told her, I'm like, you should come. And I just, yeah, it was an amazing night. Amazing night.
Okay, if we can maybe not applause after each person, and just in the interest of time for the rest of us, maybe just 1 minute each, if we can do that, just kind of keep it concise. Thanks.
Okay, mine's going to be really short. My name's Tracy, by the way, and this is my third time going, and mine's going to be super short because Caitlin just said everything that I had been impacted by, so thanks, Caitlin. So anyways, there's so many stories, and if you want to hear more, you can talk to us afterwards as well.
My name's Miller, and this is my third year on the trip, and I think the highlight for me was definitely probably VBS, because as soon as we got there, all you see are these kids just running out of their houses down the street, and they just have smiles on their faces, and they just want to play, and that's pretty much all that VBS story was, is just playing with the kids. We did some crafts, we sang some songs, and we did some stories times, a story. So that was definitely something that impacted me the most.
Hi, my name's Talia. So this was my third year going on the trip, and I love the trip. It's great. You get to like see God working in so many amazing ways. And one of the things that impacted me the most was when we went back to go visit the families from the years before, and specifically their house from 2013 with Beatrice, because she's just so full of the joy of the Lord, and she just pours her heart out into ministry, and she's just so, she's so hospitable, and like, she's honestly such a role model for me, and like, she's so inspiring. And then one thing that I've kind of learned, like refreshed, I guess, each year I've gone on the trip, is that the people down there, they're going through hardships, right? But because they have hardships, they have to really lean on God and like trust in Him. And because of that, they're so much more full of God and they have so much more joy. But then with us, because we have things like iPhones and like soap and water and all these like stuff, we don't feel like we need Him as much as they do. So we tend to just pretend like we don't need Him or whatever. I don't need to pray tonight, whatever, I'll be fine, you know, like that kind of thing. And so that's been my biggest thing taking back from the trip. And yeah.
My name is Joel, and this was my fifth time going. What I was looking forward to the most about this trip was actually having good weather, because we haven't really had good weather here. So, but we went down there. It wasn't great weather. It was still 25, but what I realized when we came back, even though it was raining, at least we have grass, because there's not really plants down there. So I guess what I learned was to be thankful for what we have, and yeah.
My name's Chris. Last year when I went on the trip, I remember coming off the bus, and just as we were driving through, my eyes couldn't take it enough. It was just like overwhelming. There's all these images of this. It was so foreign to me. This year, I knew what to expect, and so those images weren't as stark, and I think what stood out to me and impacted me the most this year was the images of different team members and just seeing them thrive. You know, thinking about Rebecca, she'll say I volunteered her to share at the church service, but listening to her share, for me, that was such a blessing and encouragement. I have this picture, and it's of Nick, and we came outside of the church service, and he's kind of standing like this with his Bible in midair. because he's jumping around with like 5 or 10 other like little like kids, and they're all like jumping like this, like goofs. And that was like kind of like Nick in a picture of the week, and all the kids running up to him, Nick, Nick, because they couldn't pronounce Nick. But yeah, for me, that was what was most impactful, is just seeing people take risks, step out, and yeah, just be encouraged because of it.
All right. My name is Steve. This is the first year I went, so it was a bit of a thing. I took a few cliff notes here, so I'm going to go through it. It was the first year I've been actually outside of U.S. or Canada, so it's kind of new to me. I didn't know what to expect, but the stressful thing about going down, I guess, was the packing. I'm kind of detail-oriented. I'm an IT guy, so that's kind of what I do. And not knowing what to expect, not knowing what to plan for, it was a bit of a thing for me. But once we got going, it was a piece of cake. What I noticed when I got down there was one of the things, the first thing that impacted me was the poverty. There's just not a lot there. I mean, even the places where the stores are everywhere, it's dirty, it's dusty, it's old, it's run down. It's just very poor compared to where we bused from in San Diego, all of that. I also noticed the kids. They run around all day, they play, but I don't see them bringing lunches. I don't see them going home to eat. They're just there with us the whole day. We're eating lunch at 12. We're getting water every 2 hours. We're drinking our little salt pills so we don't melt. And they're just running around like they share food with us and that sort of thing. And it doesn't seem like they have so much less than we have. So it's that's something that definitely impacted me. You could also see how hard life was on the faces of the people. You know, you can meet some people and they just look like they've had a hard life. Everybody looks like that down there. It's just hard. You know, they work hard. It's just hard. It's just hard living. The shower thing, the dust, dirt thing. You know, here if we leave an area of ground where there's no plants or where there's just nothing, it'll be weeds in a week. We were fighting weeds our whole lives. There's nothing. It's just dirt. It's just dust. It's like a desert, but it's not sand. It's this powdery, talcum powder type of dust. And every 5 minutes, the wind whips up, and there's these little tornadoes of dust, and you're just covered. You're just covered. They told me to wear pants, so my legs didn't get turned brown, and my legs are brown the whole time because I didn't bring pants. But yeah, you know, that's what it's like, right? You're dirty all the time. And there wasn't a shower in the place that we built. There wasn't showers anywhere. You know, there's some places that you can maybe go to get a shower, but that's about that. And the people were so thankful, you know, with all of that negativity that I just talked about, all the hard stuff. You know, they're so thankful. They're so willing to just give from the nothing, the very little they have, or the almost nothing they have. They're willing to give and take a day off and make a meal for 30 people. They beg us to do that, and some of the times we actually had to turn them down because it's like, you know, that's like a couple days' wages so they can make us a meal. And you know, I mean, that's really not what we're there to do. Dedicating the house was a highlight of mine. One of the, probably the biggest hardship I had was sleeping on a yoga mat. I come from a Mennonite background, so it was light, small, wasn't too expensive, thought it was only a week. I felt like somebody was hitting me with one of those meat hammers all night long. I wake up in the morning, and it was brutal. I'm getting the Rolls Royce next time. Even if I have to pack it on the plane, I'm going to do it. And I guess, you know, the biggest things I've learned is that we have so much. God is everywhere. And I've been having people put in my life to pray for, and that's something that I didn't usually do. I didn't pray for other people, and that was something that God's been putting more and more people in my life, and my list is getting long. I need to start writing them down. So.
Hi, I'm Mackenzie. This is also my first year on the trip, and I think the most impactful thing was I got to go to the garbage dump one day, and Pastor David, who took us there, says, like, the company that runs the garbage dump keeps wanting to, like, kick him out and trying to find ways to get him out, but he just keeps going back. And, yeah, that was impactful.
This is Megan, and she's kind of shy. Hey, I'm Wendy. I will talk fast because I'm nervous, and there's so many stories. Where do I start? One thing is, for me, my experience before the trip was pretty brutal. I had some pretty strong opposition against me, and there's nights spent in the hospital, and it was just a bit of a mess, so I was wondering if I was even going to go, and I did. And it was, that in itself is amazing. Something that I find that my journey has been lately is figuring out what community looks like within our family here in this room. And that was something that was really cool to be a part of there. Partly this team, like what Chris was saying, was just seeing different people do different things. But then, there's one picture that I'm going to share with you just because it's burned in my brain of our friend Stephanie, which I hope you all know. She is now on her journey of doing a year-long missions trip. So pray for her, love her. We went to the garbage dump, and it wrecked us. Well, it wrecked me. I cried the entire way there and back and for about 4 hours afterwards. But this one moment we arrived and there was this young family, a pregnant mom with a small little girl with her as well. And her husband was out working in the dump. And they had this little rickety shack thing that they were living in. And it was just like, blah. But Steph and her beautiful, selfless heart. She just bent down and held this little baby girl's hand and the mom and like just prayed over them. And it was like, done. So just be encouraged by our family. Thank you for all your support, the people that helped donate for most of us to go. Thank you for that.
Hello, everyone. My name is Danica. And this year was actually my fifth year going to Mexico. So I'm going to be a bit of a broken record here because Chris kind of stole my answer. But for me, like, the most impactful thing this year was just seeing the team work together so well. I know beforehand I kind of had assumptions that, like, just from appearance-wise, you don't think, oh, yeah, we're going to be able to build two houses because it's highly female and not necessarily a whole bunch of construction workers. But I think I was just super surprised because when we got there, everyone was just so willing to work. And like I thought, okay, yeah, we're going to have all these options like building the house or doing VBS and stuff. And I thought everyone would be, okay, let's go hang out with the kids. But I was surprised to see, especially like some of the younger girls and stuff, just working so incredibly hard. And I just found that so encouraging. And I think that's just a testament to how God can use us in so many ways. And not necessarily how we expect it, but that he knows, like, what's best for us. And if we are willing to put ourselves out there, that he can do great things for us. So, yeah.
Hello, I'm Nick. This was my first time to Mexico. It was also my first out-of-country missions trip. And I guess I'll give a bit of context to Chris's jumping thing. One of my highlights was playing with the kids. I just got so much joy out of just jumping around and playing with them. And even in this one case, like, the communication is always really hard because they speak a completely different language than me, and I know, like, Bon and Vamanos, and that was, like, it. So after church, they were just, I'm like, the only thing I knew that translates is jumping. So I just started jumping, and then the kids started jumping, and then we were having a blast. So that's a late side note there. I think the biggest thing for me on this trip was there was a lot of brokenness down there, just in all the different stories I heard and everywhere I looked. It was just kind of very, very, very evident in all the different the people's lives and what's going on in them. But I think what was even bigger to me was just seeing how God worked in all of those different areas and just his beauty and in all the different just the little things, like the different pastors that are working down there, Pastor Ricardo, Pastor David, and just like One Life, One Chance, and just seeing how God can use like just even a single person and their dedication and their love for God and just how they can, that can just blossom into something that's so beautiful, that I, more beautiful than anything I had ever experienced before. So that was really cool.
I'm Kim. I'm the sneaky hugger, apparently.
actually not a hugger. I don't know how I ever ended up with that label. And there are so many, moments. I need more than minutes. I'm not even going to use my minute. But what I am going to say is that my dear friend Megan, who is sitting behind me, was really the engine behind the Women's Ministry Night, and her passion for it, between her and Tracy, bringing so many things into being. And our theme for that night was beloved, and Tracy and Megan are my beloved for just having that come into being.
My name is Erin, and it was my third year. I met Rod and Shauna my first year down there. Then I went to work for One Life, One Chance next year, and then I was lucky enough to be invited to come with these fine people. And it's a very different thing when you don't know the people that you're going on a big trip with. And I'm a granny of two little wee guys, so I don't really have a lot of experience with teenagers. And it really didn't hit me till like a week before I left that I was going with like a lot of teenagers to Southern Mexico. And one thing I will say, I've never worked alongside of such a large group of people that absolutely complemented each other. There was never an attitude. There was never... It was just harmonious. I don't even know a word to explain it, but I knew I was in trouble when we got on the plane in Vancouver, and Emily was sitting next to me, and Ben, and so this was my first taste of the guy there. And Emily looks over at me, and she goes, "Would you like a tattoo?" And I was like... No. And Ben goes, "I'll have a tattoo," or whatever. So I'm sitting there, this grown adult, watching Ben allow her to Sharpie a full forest scene down his arm. And I'm thinking, this is going to be a bizarre trip right off the bat. But I mean, I can't say enough about every single person on this team. I mean, these are some really hard, hardworking people. And Shauna and Rod, there couldn't be a better two people to lead this group. I mean, we had Chris and music, which is fantastic. And this guy right here is amazing. I mean, every single person I just grew to love. And you spend this tremendous amount of time with them, 24 hours a day. And you land in Vancouver when it's over. And I remember we're just walking through customs, and it's just like, bye. And we all just left each other. And when I got to the vehicle, I'm thinking, it's just done. So as quickly as it's such a big process to get there, and then you're so invested when you're there, and then you get back home, and you're just left to process this amazing trip. And it was life-changing. The only thing I want to talk about is I've had two families. So I've had the families this year, and then I had a previous family. And halfway through the trip, I had to go see them. I had to go hunt them down. And I didn't know where the house was. I kind of knew where it was. And it was pink. So I got to drive this trip for the first time. Driving in Mexico is insane. So I was alone in this, or I was in this vehicle going up and down dirt roads looking for this house. "Excuse me, do you know where the pink house is? Is there a pink house?" Everybody's like, "No pink house, no pink house." Well, over time, the house bleaches. So it's not pink anymore, it's white. So I literally was in tears after 2 hours of driving, and I'm like, I give up. You know, Lord, this is just not going to happen. But we all know that things happen on God's time. So the next day, I try again. And they have a GPS locator kind of system, so they gave me kind of where it was. And I pulled down this street, and I pull up, and I'm like, oh my God, here's the house. And the mom is like scrubbing her laundry on this... a stone kind of thing. And I pull up and I see her go. She lifts her head. Her eyeballs blow out of her head. And I know she's thinking, oh my God, this person from Canada is in my... She runs into the house. So I'm like, okay. She comes out all... She put a sweater on. She's got her hair now tied back. And she's just... tearing up and telling me that the kids aren't there, please come back. And she ends up, I have a translator with me, and we find out it's my girl's 16th birthday that week, which is a big deal down there. And so I said, well, I'm going to come back. And I said, what can we do for her birthday? And they wanted to have pizza. They never have pizza. So on the, I think it was Thursday or Friday, I brought my translator with me, and we went and got these. They have massive pizzas down there that are like the size of this. And so I showed up there with these pizzas and the kids' faces. I mean, it's so lovely to see them healthy, and they're both in school, and they're just so overjoyed. And the house that we built is in pristine condition. It's just as we left. And long story short, I'd noticed they'd wired the house for light because Mom had worked, but she'd lost her job. And so they were using candlelight because the electricity got shut off. And I asked, well, how much does it cost to turn your electricity on or whatever? And I'd saved this $80 American for myself to spend on myself when we got back to San Diego. Well, they tell me that it's going to cost $80 American to get their lights turned on. So then I'm like, God gift, right? Like, what am I going to buy for myself that'll mean anything? So I slid the money across the table. She looked at me, slid it back. I slid it back again and begged her to take it. And the whole family was just bawling. And it's just amazing that God can plant you in that exact moment to make such a big help in their lives. So that was just one moment that I just loved.
Okay. Thank you, Aaron. And so this is kind of, you know, the oversight of what happened that week in Mexico. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Tomorrow, those of you who are on the Grace Point email, you'll get an email and you'll read a story about Ev Weens going back to the Ukraine and her missional heart. We'll also send a video link to a video of the houses that we built and the families that are in them that you'll get to see. But in our Love Your Neighbor series, we're to love our neighbor, whether across the street or across the world. And so let's go out and do that even this week and pray how God would use you to expand His kingdom message in our world, whether joining the Mexico team next year, first week of July, or whether it's, praying for Ev as she goes to the Ukraine, or whether it's doing some other opportunity, or whether it's across the street or across our country, whatever it may be, that you are being led by the Spirit to what God calls you to be. Let me close our service in prayer. Dear Jesus, just thank you again for each of these stories, each of these testimonies of things that you have done in hearts here and in Mexico and in our church. And thank you for the things that you continue to do as you call us to be your ambassadors, your light in this world. Amen.